Well, g'day everyone. Welcome to The Journey this week. My name is Jude Hennessy and I have the great privilege of bringing you this show as the host each and every week. And along with you, I get to listen to some fantastic God spots and inputs from some awesome people from the Catholic world that contribute to the wonderful thing that is Christian radio right around the country. And cheerio to all of our listeners, whether you're from east to west or north to south of Australia, even down in Tasmania, some listeners over in New Zealand as well. We don't mind where you're listening from. We just are overjoyed that you are and that this show's been going for almost 14 years every week. And we're up to about 34, 35 Christian radio stations now that take this show right around the country. Heaps and heaps of people get it as a podcast, The Journey, each week. And you can also receive it by going to jcr.org.au, sign up there and we'll send it to you as an email each week, because we know that sometimes people are just not in a radio station broadcast area. But most of our listeners across the broad, wonderful network of Christian churches are listening in via the Christian Radio Network. And it's great to have the following people on the show this week. We're going to be hearing from Mr. Mark Rowie. He's going to talk to us about humour in his wonderful segment, Godspot, called Hearts on Fire, Feet on the Move. Great to have Mr. Peter Gilmore with us too. His segment, Living the Gospel, is always fantastic. I get to work with Pete each and every day. He's on fire for renewal of the church, for evangelisation and equipping people for that. And that's what he's going to be all about today too. He got a bit of a reflection back on some of the things that Pope Francis had to say about reaching out to the lost. Great to have Bishop Tony Percy with us too. He's the auxiliary bishop in Sydney, one of them in any case. He's going to be giving us some reflections on this week's gospel. And he's got some great insights for us from St. Augustine about friendship in particular. Mother Hilda Scott, wisdom from the Abbey, lovely story about breaking the cane, story of some kids in school. But to kick us off, we're going to hear from Father James McCarthy. He's a wonderful priest, looked after my family and my mum and my dad in particular when Dad passed away last year. He was right there, right through that process for us. Beautiful evangelising funeral that we had. It was a packed church and Father James made sure it was evangelising, just as my dad would have wanted and certainly as my mum ensured. Well, today he's not talking about the gospel that was set down for this week. He's actually making reference to the first reading, well, the second reading that is set down for this Mass for the 25th Sunday in Ordinary Time. With some reflections on 1 Timothy 2-8, pray for everyone to God who wants everyone to be saved. Some wonderful insights into what God wants for us and how the real battlefield for all of us as Christians is the spiritual battle against evil and the devil, and how we're called to view the world in the understanding of that. So as you can see, lots to get through, lots of great music too. We've got Matt Maher after we hear from Father James McCarthy, The Lord's Prayer, It's Yours, great song. And after the initial part, we'll glad to a break, and then Mother Hilda Scott's not too far away. Lots to get through, as you can hear. Faith, hope, love and life. My name's Jude Hennessy. So glad you joined us this week on The Journey.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, "There was a rich man, and he had a steward denounced to him for being wasteful with his property. He called for the man and said, 'What is this I hear about you? Draw me up an account of your stewardship, because you are not to be my steward any longer.' Then the steward said to himself, 'Now that my master is taking the stewardship from me, what am I to do? Dig? I'm not strong enough. Go begging? I would be too ashamed. I know what I'll do to make sure that when I am dismissed from office, there will be some to welcome me into their homes.' Then he called his master's debtors one by one. To the first he said, 'How much do you owe my master?' 100 measures of oil, was the reply. The steward said, 'Here, take your bond, sit down straight away and write 50. To another he said, "And you, sir, how much do you owe?" 100 measures of wheat, was the reply. The steward said, "Here, take your bond and write 80. The master praised the dishonest steward for his astuteness, for the children of this world are more astute in dealing with their own kind than are children of the light. And so I tell you this, use money, tainted as it is, to win you friends, and thus make sure that when it fails you, they will welcome you into the tents of eternity. The man who can be trusted in little things can be trusted in great. The man who is dishonest in little things will be dishonest in great. If then you cannot be trusted with money, that tainted thing, who will trust you with genuine riches? And if you cannot be trusted with what is not yours, who will give you what is your very own? No servant can be the slave of two masters. He will either hate the first and love the second, or treat the first with respect and the second with scorn. You cannot be the slave of both God and of money. The Gospel of the Lord. Now, the Gospel Reflection with Father James McCarthy.
There should be prayers offered for everyone, especially for kings and others in authority, so that we may be able to live religious and reverent lives in peace and quiet. We heard these words from St. Paul writing to Timothy in our second reading today, but he was not writing in the context of our modern democracies, or in the context where the kings and politicians were Christians. Rather, he wrote in the context of Roman occupation, of Jewish kings and other tribal pagan kings who were at times hostile to Christians, and they imprisoned and executed many followers of Christ. But in the midst of all this, the Christian community was not formed to bring regime changes or to dominate the world on a political scale. Rather, the battle and the fight we undertake as Christians is between good and evil, between God and the devil. And when we live in the world, we are called to live religious and reverent lives in peace and in quiet. So what does this mean? Well, first, we should pray for those in authority. Pray for our politicians, for police, for doctors and nurses, and for all in leadership. It is not easy being a leader or being someone with some authority. And it is even harder to serve the public and the common good when things become stressful and violent. So we are called to pray. To pray for those in authority and in leadership, even if we don't like them. Christians also should be known for our wisdom and for our support for those in authority, especially when it is difficult, and not for rioting or causing violence. Yes, we can have different political opinions, but using violence and hostility to promote our views is contrary to the guidance of the scriptures, where we are called to live in peace and in quiet. It is important to be polite and respectful to those placed over us, even if they are not always polite to us. A number of the apostles were imprisoned for their faith, and the stories of many of the saints who were also imprisoned can be inspiring. Often they were not hostile to their guards, but demonstrated the love of God that was within them. Many prison guards over the centuries have become Christians because of the quiet, reverent, and respectful witness of the Christian prisoner. We should take a similar approach in our lives, whether it is in a hospital room or a nursing home, in a correctional facility, or even just interacting when the police might have pulled us over. Be grateful, be thankful, be respectful, be polite and encouraging, and be known for your reverent and religious life. The Christian doesn't walk away from a battle, but we need to work out which battle we are fighting. Most of the people we interact with on a daily basis are just trying to do their job. They are not the person to fight. The devil is the fight. The temptation to not be religious, respectful, or reverent to every human being, and to not live in peace and quiet, that is the battle to take us away from God. Offer prayers for everyone, especially for those in authority, so that we may be able to live religious and reverent lives in peace and in quiet.
You're listening to The Journey, music, interviews, and wisdom for living life to the full. Listening to The Journey, music, interviews, and wisdom for living life to the full.
Now, wisdom from the Abbey with Mother Hilda.
I don't know if this story is true or not, but it makes a very good point anyway. Apparently there was a village school somewhere in Africa. The teacher ruled by the cane, and needless to say, the children were terrified into submission. One day the teacher was absent. The children sat for a long time in silence, not knowing what to do. There on the teacher's desk was the dreaded cane. One little girl finally got up and walked toward the desk. She picked up the cane and broke it into a number of pieces and gave one to each of the children. Throughout the day, the children worked away at their piece of cane, turning them into various woodwind instruments as they knew them in their tribe. The next day, the teacher returned and noticed immediately that the cane was gone. He roared at the children and demanded to know where it was. That same little girl stood up with her instrument in her hand, and one by one, so did every child in the class. Some internal signal was given, and each child picked up his or her instrument and began to play it as one. Someone said that suffering that is not transformed is transmitted. How many canes have there been in our lives? How many times have come and reduced us to stiff stillness and made us incapable of relating properly? How often has an unkind word ruined our capacity to act normally for the rest of the day? And how often have we taken it out on someone else? Look no further than the last time somebody beeped at you because you were taking your time on the road. Suffering untransformed does indeed get transmitted. Jesus, in his life on earth, in his kindness and his reaching out, in his transmission of the Father's forgiveness to us, broke all the canes there are. Now it remains only for us to live it and do the same. With Jesus as your companion, there'll be a cane you can break today. There'll be a cane you can transform. And tonight, there'll be music in your heart and in the heart of God that wasn't there before.
Thanks so much there to Mother Hilda Scott. Tells the story of some African school children who transformed their teacher's intimidating cane into musical instruments when he was absent. And as is always the case, she makes clear references to how Jesus can break the cycle of suffering and fear through forgiveness and love. That Jesus is the answer to all of the ills of the world's problems. And the Holy Spirit is the source of victory over the spiritual battle that we're facing. All right, coming up after the break, you're going to be hearing from Bishop Tony Percy. He's remains in Europe at the moment. I think he's meeting with Pope Leo this week. He's off to baby bishop school. He's a new bishop, and about once every quarter, all the new bishops go off there and meet the Pope and get some good formation in what their new role is all about from lots and lots of people learning about that stuff and what it means for the role of these pastors, these shepherds, which are our bishops. He's not too far away, but some more music first. Jason Gray, Be Kind, and Matthew West, Broken Things. Faith, hope, love and life. My name's Jude Hennessy. So glad you joined us this week on The Journey.
Brake lights stuck on the highway. Some guy cuts into my lane. Anger like an explosion. I'm mad and make sure he knows it. But I don't know what he's been through. Family's trying to get to. That's when the spirit inside me reminds me to be kind. 'Cause everyone you meet is fighting their own battle. Fighting their own battle. So be kind. 'Cause everyone you see needs to know they matter. They need to know they matter. Starts to act out. First thought this kid wasn't raised right. Next thought I wonder what their home's like. Then I see she's a single mother, just trying to hold it all together. She'd break down if she could afford to. It wouldn't cost me any more to be kind.
Together on the journey, faith, hope, and love for life in all its fullness.
If grace was a kingdom, I stopped at the gate, thinking I don't deserve to pass through after all the mistakes that I've made. Oh, but I heard a whisper as heaven bent down, said, child, don't you know that the first will be last and the last get a crown? It's always the ones with the scars that you use. Oh, it's the rebels and the prodigals. It's the humble and the weak. All the misfit heroes you chose tell me there's hope for sinners like me. And now I'm just a beggar in the presence of a king. There's a seat at the table just waiting for you, so come on inside.
And now with his weekly reflection, here's Bishop Tony Percy.
A wonderful question is placed before us on this, the 25th Sunday of the year, in year C. It comes from the Gospel of Luke. And of all the Gospel writers, it's very easy to argue that Luke is the one who's most insistent on the dangers of wealth. There's no doubt about it. Let's sort of make some distinctions when we talk about money. But let me first give you the passage from the Gospel of Luke. It's chapter 16. Use money, Jesus says, tainted as it is, to win you friends. And thus make sure that when it fails you, they will welcome you into the tents of eternity. So in the letter of St. Paul to Timothy, the young bishop, he talks about the love of money being the root of all evil, which is absolutely and utterly true. But having an interest in money is a different thing altogether. All of us must have an interest in money because money helps us to create wealth. And what we want to do with wealth is to use wealth, to distribute wealth, to eliminate poverty, and to use wealth to build up friendships and love and communion. So we think of a simple family meal or a meal with friends requires money, requires resources. And those resources and money are being put to great use because they're building up a spirit of love and communion in the community among our friends and family. So use money, tainted as it is, to win your friends. So the higher value here, money's a good thing, but having a love of money is not. But the greater value, the much greater value, is friendship and communion and love. And so money should serve this wonderful social purpose and wonderful divine purpose, because after all, God himself is a communion of love. And so the meals and the friendships that we have here on earth are simply a participation in and a foretaste of the final communion we will have, the definitive communion we will have for all eternity. with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Of course, this particular passage, use money, tainted as it is to win you friends, from Luke 16, it begs the question, what on earth is friendship? We talk about friendship. We talk today about the crisis in friendship, which has been created by superficiality and things of social media outlets, etc. People talk about having a lot of friends, but most people complain about not having a deep enough intimacy in their friendships. And we're not just talking about sexuality with husband and wife, but we're talking about intimacy, which is so important between men and men, between men and women, between women and women, etc., between young people, teenagers, friendship. It's an absolutely crucial thing and been reflected on very beautifully in the tradition. But the question is, what on earth is friendship? So why don't we try this? This comes from St. Augustine's Confessions. It comes from Book 10. Augustine lived with male friends, and they created a community of faith and hope and love. And in the Confessions then, he describes, I think, perhaps more beautifully than anyone in the entire tradition of spirituality, either Christian or otherwise, about the meaning of friendship. So I leave this with you. So Augustine writes, all kinds of things rejoice my soul in their company. And as I read these thoughts out, you might like to think of your friendships and how this is so profoundly true, what Augustine does here by describing really the nature and characteristic of friendship. So he says, all kinds of things rejoice my soul in their company, to talk and to laugh and to do each other kindnesses, to read pleasant books together, to pass from lightest jesting to talk of the deepest things and back again, to differ without rancor, as a man might differ with himself, and when, most rarely, dissension arose, to find our normal agreement all the sweeter for it, to be impatient for the return of the absent and to welcome them with joy on their homecoming. It's profoundly beautiful, isn't it? To finish, these, Augustine says, these and such like things proceeding from our hearts as we gave affection and received it back and shown by face, by voice, by the eyes and by a thousand other pleasing ways kindled a flame which fused our very souls together and of many made us one. Profoundly beautiful. A wonderful reflection on friendship. Again, the text from Jesus is, use money, tainted as it is, to win new friends. Let's get back to basics and put on a pedestal the most important value, human value, we call friendship.
Thanks so much to Bishop Tony Percy there. Really lucky that we're still getting his inputs each week, even as he's travelling around Europe at the moment. He's on a bit of a holiday, and also he's over there at Baby Bishop School, as he said, for all of the new bishops. They run that a few times a year for the newbies. I'm sure he's making great connections. He's a very personable, relational guy. I'll bet he is making great contacts with people who are from right around the church, right around the world, that's for sure. After the break, you're going to be hearing from Mr. Peter Gilmore. Living the Gospel is his segment, and he's going to talk to us about finding the lost. Make some references to some parables of Jesus, and perhaps how today we're not going out and looking for the one lost sheep, we're going out and looking for the 99 that are lost. That's what it feels like increasingly in the West. That's after the break from Pete Gilmore. But first up, here's Porter's Gate and the song Bring It to the Altar. Faith, hope, love and life. My name's Jude Hennessy, and you're on the journey.
With us.
faith, hope, love, and life. This is The Journey. Now let's live the gospel with Pete Gilmore.
In the Gospel of Luke, Jesus tells a series of stories about the lost things. There's the lost coin, the lost son, and perhaps the most relevant to the Christian church today, the lost sheep. In this story, Jesus says, if you had 100 sheep, who wouldn't leave the 99 to find the one that was lost? And if you found it, wouldn't you celebrate? It's a great parable, and it teaches us, in one sense, how important one person is to God, how far God would go for the one. We adopt this story, this parable, as church. We need to reach out to the lost, to the hurting, to the lonely. We need to go out and find them. Anything short of that is like putting a candle under a basket. It's hiding the hope that we were found. But in today's world, it's much more like the 99 lost sheep than the one. Pope Francis made this observation in 2013 when he said, it's the 99 who were missing. And he added, in this culture, let's face it, we have only one. We are the minority. Given that fact, the worst thing we could do would be to overly focus on the one. After all, we don't want to lose them too, do we? In the parable of the talents, the master gives three servants different amounts of talents, which was a unit of money. One got five talents, another two, and another just one. The one with five went out and doubled his money. The master was obviously overjoyed with that result. The one with two also managed to double it, a great success. The one with one did what we all do when we sense scarcity. He buried it, hid it away, made sure no one would take it. When the master returned, all he had was the one that was left. Now is not the time for the one to hide. Now is the time to take a risk. If not now, when? The good news is actually good. It's hope for the hopeless. It's a light in the darkness, and Jesus can actually save the 99. So what are we waiting for? God bless.
Thanks so much to Pete Gilmore there. Some great insights about the need for us to be really deliberate, really fervent, and really exuberant in the way that we're looking for the lost and reaching out to the lost. I know Father James Mallon references the story of the Titanic in this very same sort of tone, suggesting that, you know, we've got these empty lifeboats and we need to be drawing people into to the life and the salvation that is a relationship with Jesus Christ and in membership and in confraternity with each other as members of churches. And how we in the church need to get uncomfortable, not be content, and reach out to the many, many people in our spheres of influence, in our families, in our workplaces, who need to know the love of Jesus. I just want to remind people that we've got coming up in the Sydney region, but there's people who come from all over Australia for this, for the Growing Good Men experience from the 5th to the 7th of December 2025. It's a father and teenage son weekend experience. We're going to be holding it this year at a new venue at the Tops Conference Centre. I love the guys up there. They have got a great venue and they do such a great job in hosting lots of groups, particularly church groups. And we're bringing together a bunch of dads and lads to explore and solidify the bonds between father and son, to look at the journey of becoming a man and dealing with some of the pitfalls and dealing with some of the strengths that, if not kept on the railway tracks, can become really destructive. Friendships, relationships, understanding our identity, particularly in Christ, and some wonderful rites of passage that are incredibly powerful. If that sounds like something you'd like to do with your son or with your dad, just go to menalive.dow.org.au and you can register there. That's menalive at DOW at Diocese of Wollongong. That's what that stands for. That's where I'm from. I'll be there. I'll be helping to run it with the great men from the Men Alive movement. There are also weekends going on up in Brisbane and in Melbourne. I really encourage you, if you're a dad, to do this with your son. The feedback we've had over a number of years now is that this is quite simply life-changing. All right, we're moving along at a rapid pace. After the break, we're going to be hearing from Mark Rowie. He's a director of Catholic Mission, a great organisation that does incredible work with the poor and disadvantaged. Hearts on Fire, Feet on the Move is his segment, and he's going to talk to us about the importance of humour. But first up is, for King and Country, what are we waiting for? Faith, hope, love and life. My name's Jude Hennessy, and we're getting near the end, but you're still on the journey. What are we waiting for?
to keep pace. Days are running like they're in a race. Can't move if we're in our own way. I guess the crisis is we've just one life to live, and no one knows what happens next. So what are we waiting for? What are we waiting for? Why are we wasting all the time like someone's making more? What are we praying for? What are we saving for? What if we could be the light that no one could ignore? What are we waiting for?
Waiting for, waiting for, waiting for.
Put the pen on a new page. Dream about what you could change.
Together on the journey, faith, hope, and love for life in all its fullness.
And now, encouraging us to have hearts on fire and feet on the move, here's Mark Rowie.
I love to laugh. In fact, there is something in my DNA that inclines me to see the funny side of life, even in the most serious of situations. Some might say laughing in the face of tragedy is disrespectful or downright wrong. And they may be right, but I can't help laughing, on the inside at least, when I see something silly, outrageous, unexpected, or absurd. One of the great religion-centered stories that makes me laugh is hearing that a funeral celebrant fell into the grave and had to be rescued by the grave diggers as he couldn't climb out. It must have been traumatic for all those present, especially the celebrant, but in the midst of loss and sadness, I can't imagine anybody not, at the least, smiling when they later recalled that event. Would I have laughed if it was the burial of my mother? Well, after helping to rectify the situation, I think I would be laughing, as would my mother. One of my great memories of Pope Francis was seeing him laughing, smiling, and clearly taking joy from his interactions with people. Of course, he was deadly serious and expressed great concern with a very dignified and appropriate demeanour when that was required, but I still fondly remember him laughing. There's a wonderful video of him battling the wind in a public address and laughing when his white skullcap, called a zucchetto, blew off. And what do we make of the fact that he invited 105 comedians for an audience in the Vatican in 2024? He wanted to thank them for putting a smile on people's faces during dark times. The Pope told them that, in the midst of so much gloomy news, immersed as we are in many social and even personal emergencies, you have the power to spread peace and smiles. The now deceased legendary Catholic bishop of my own diocese, Peter Ingham, was renowned for his joke-telling and sense of humour. Wherever he went, he put smiles on people's faces. He attracted people to the faith, often through his warm and generous smile and the regular telling of what some would call a lame dad joke. Yet no one who knew him would say he was not a serious person with an acute sense of occasion and dignity. He travelled both worlds beautifully. What is it about humour that Pope Francis recognised? Humour that does not embarrass or humiliate is a wonderful part of the human experience. It often disarms people from their defences and helps to create rapport and connection. The greatest of comedians simply observe the absurdities of life and point out what is silly and contradictory. In many ways, they are truth tellers, sometimes saying things others would not, and yes, sometimes going too far and offending people, but life would be a great deal heavier without laughter. To ask the ultimate faith question on this topic, one might ask, does God have a sense of humour? Did Jesus laugh? Was he always serious and immersed in tragedy and the social dramas of the day? Or did he see how silly some behaviours were and enjoyed a good belly laugh with his friends? I guess we will never know. There is not enough in the Gospels to confidently claim that Jesus was the Jerry Seinfeld of his day, but he did use irony and exaggerated examples, calling Peter a rock when he was often the most unsteady, and referring to a camel fitting through the eye of a needle. And he was clearly a very astute observer of the world around him, so it is likely that he could see the funny side of life, but we are clearly in the realm of speculation. There is not a great deal in the scriptures that give us an insight into God's sense of humour, but the book of Ecclesiastes tells us there is a time to weep and a time to laugh. And it later says, so I recommend having fun, because there is nothing better for people in this world than to eat, drink and enjoy life. That way, they will experience some happiness along with all the hard work God gives them under the sun. Fullness of life, as in John 10:10, includes all the experiences that go into being a human: joy, sadness, grief, fun, anxiety, and laughter. As I move around the world in my work with Catholic Mission, I see plenty of tragedy, suffering, and disadvantage. But in the midst of all of that, I also see joy, smiles, and lots of laughter. The Gospels tell us that Jesus wept. True. But also, I believe he would have laughed and laughed and laughed, for it is the best medicine. I'm Mark Rowey from Catholic Mission. Find out more about us at catholicmission.org.au.
I've been thinking about time, and where does it go? How can I stop my life from passing me by? I don't know. I've been thinking about family, how it's going so fast. Will I wake up one morning just wishing that I could go back? I've been thinking about lately, maybe I can make a change and let it change me. So with all of my heart, this is my prayer. Singing, oh Lord, keep me in the moment. Promise you hold.
So it's all eyes on you until the day you call me home. Singing, oh Lord, keep me in the moment. Help me live with my eyes wide open. Cause I don't wanna miss what you have.
Well, that's a great song to finish off this week's show. Jeremy Camp, Keep Me in the Moment. And great to hear from Mark Rowie there too. He spoke about the importance of humour in our interactions with others. It's a gift of God, joy, being joyful. Sometimes it's hard, but we're called to be joyful and to give God praise, even in the midst of difficult times, even in the midst of carrying heavy burdens. And it's a real sign of faith and of hope that we trust that God's got it. Particularly eternally, he's got it. We might be suffering and encountering difficulties now, but we know who wins. We know the final result, and that's got to be a source of our constant joy and, I think, of laughter and humour, even in the midst of great difficulties and great tragedies. Lots of tragedies are going on around the world. We need to pray and hope and be strong and not worry. Hope you've enjoyed today's show. I hope it's spoken to you. Really appreciative of all those who've contributed to it. All of our presenters, of course, Father James McCarthy from the parish of Cronulla. He's the parish priest up there. He's a fantastic guy. Mother Hilda Scott as well, Bishop Tony Percy, Peter Gilmore and Mark Rowie, who's just finished off for us. Max Norden, thank you to you, sir, for putting this show together each and every week. You do a great job, and I appreciate it, as I'm sure all of our listeners do too. We will be doing it all again next week. I hope you can join us. Don't forget, if you heard something you'd like to get today, go to jcr.org.au. You can leave us a comment. You can sign up. You can re-listen to this week's show and even send it to someone else. Thanks for being with us. Hope you can join us again next week. Faith, hope, love and life. My name's Jude Hennessy, and you've been on The Journey.
The Journey is presented by Jude Hennessy and produced by Max Norden on Darawal Country in the office of the Bishop for the Catholic Diocese of Wollongong.